very, I've got it recording. This time it's recording on the right-hand side by the big. I don't know if it was how I changed it, but anyway.
Well, everybody, please take a look at the agenda.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, we're not streaming, but we're recording, and so welcome everyone. This is the November 18, 2009 local station board meeting, and I'm Bill Crozier, chair, and welcome everyone. Mr. Secretary, can you call the roll for us, please?
Yeah, Teresa Allen. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Mary Dennis.
Here.
Lee Greenwood. Lee asked for an excuse. Melinda Eiley Doan. Dwayne Bradley.
Yes.
Dr. Joseph Kay. Alberto Larrera. Mike Martin. Sandra Rowland.
Present.
David Salerno.
Here.
Wendy Shrell. Herbert Steptoe.
Here.
C. Lee Taylor.
Here.
Richard Uzel. Here. Ted Weisel.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
Stacy Davis. Chris Gatlin. George Ryder.
Here.
Ron Reynolds, he's going to be late.
He's in recording.
Alfonso Rivera. And Dr. Michael Woodson. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. I know we have a few sessions requests from Alfonso Rivera. He was sorry he couldn't make his last meeting, but he'll make it work. And Mike Martin, for those of you who don't know, was in the hospital for 3 weeks last month.
Lee Greenwood.
Oh, Lee Greenwood and Alberto Laura. Okay, do you know why they were asked for excuse
afterwards? Alberto's in New Mexico and Lee's getting married on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
And she's sitting over at the church making sure she's in the right place.
Okay. Any objections to excusing all those people? If not, then no, they're excused. Thank you. Make sure I catch anybody else who comes in late. And let's see, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, I've provided everyone with a handout, I think, that, I mean, I know I've handed it out, but I'm not sure to everyone. It's dated Wednesday, 04 November, and at the bottom I've announced at that time that I would request that we meet in the Committee of the Whole for 20 minutes to discuss and develop procedures for electing our officers and directors for 2010, and that under unfinished business, a vote on the procedures that are developed.
Second.
Why is a second necessary when I gave this to the chair and I presume the secretary on the 4th of November?
A second still needed.
To put something
on the agenda.
Well,
you're 10 days, okay. It's more than 10 days in advance.
Okay. Well, I heard a second. Okay. So. Any discussion on this?
Yeah.
Richard?
I think that this is kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't think that the task to figure out what we're going to do at elections is that big a thing. We've done it a dozen times. This looks to me like something that would take us 20 or 30 minutes. Plus, I think it'd be better done next month by the new board to let them figure out what kind of questions they want to ask the candidates and what kind of things they want to do. I think it wastes our time, and I don't think it's germane to what we're doing. I think it applies to the next season. So I would vote no.
Anybody else want to comment on that?
Yeah. Well, I want the discussion during the first part of the meeting, and I want the vote to occur under unfinished business. If that's not acceptable, then I put this forth as an item for unfinished business or for new business. And I think it's always been unfair for the candidates that night to discover what the rules are going to be in terms of running for either the position on the local board or the positions on the national board. Now, next month, it's just the positions on the local board. But I think people should be given an opportunity in advance to know if they are going to be given an opportunity to make opening and closing comments. They ought to have some opportunity to prepare for that. I think the members of the board should have an opportunity in advance to know how many questions they will be able to ask, and people should be given an opportunity to know how much time they will have to answer those questions. In the process of running for the local board, we make it real clear that you've got X number of words that you're allowed to place on the website, and you're given advance notice that you're going to be given 50 or so seconds to place a statement on the air. To handle these highly important offices of president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer of the LSB, and then the following month to deal with the highly important positions on the national board, to have to wing it at the last meeting, and to take up the time next month to develop these procedures for the election of the national board, I think is inappropriate. I don't think we have that much important business tonight, and I'm asking for placing the suggestions that I've made under new business. If we don't get to it, that will be unfortunate, but I think we do have the time to do it, and we won't have the time next month with all the candidates making their cases in whatever haphazard way we have traditionally done it.
Well, just for clarification, you had those two parts. The first part would go where?
The first part would be a discussion in the committee of the whole of the of points 1 through 7.
Where in the agenda would you like to suggest that be put?
I would like it to occur under agenda approval right now, right after we vote on this. But regardless, if that's not the case, then we should deal with the whole thing under new business, which is the last item on the agenda.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say about this motion? Yeah, Teresa?
Was the election process to the CMB and what the officers do and how they're elected
not these details.
No.
Mary?
I'd like to speak in favor of what Ted's outlined here. I think it would be a good idea to go ahead and at least talk about the process. And I'm making an assumption that in the committee of the whole, we can include the new board members, the incoming board members.
I would think that would be marvelous.
And so in that case, I think we should take the time to talk about the process. Whether or not we make any decisions, it'll still help everybody learn about what has to be accomplished within a short time. And so I would suggest that we put it after some of the reports. So if I could suggest that, Ted, we put it either right before standing committees or right after.
Before? And I have a standing committee report, but I think this is too important.
Is there any objections to changing the motion to move it to just before the standing committee reports?
Yes.
Okay, now, go ahead, George.
I think there's things we need to do with the standing committee reports, and if we get to it in new business, good. If we don't, well, we'll do it next month. I don't see changing the agenda.
I forgot to ask, was there a second to the amendment? Let's move it to the fourth item of the report.
Second.
Okay. So any discussion on that motion just to make that change? Can we go ahead and vote on that? All in favor of amending this motion to have the first part right before standing for the reports, please raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand.
She's so cute.
Okay, so that passes. Okay,
no, it doesn't, Bill.
You might need to clarify that again.
Right. Bill. If you're not on the board, you can't vote yet. So the motion, the amendment was just to...
You're almost on the board.
Right. You will be. You're elected, but you don't take office. So we still have some of the outgoing people that are still in the board.
Bill, point of order. My understanding is our rule was that if you put something in 10 days in advance, then it goes on the agenda. And that if you want to take something off the agenda or change the order of the agenda, it requires 2/3 to do that.
I think it's taking off. I don't think it's changing the order.
I think that's right.
Yeah, the book's right there, so you can take a look. But I think that it is 2/3 to take it off. I think it's 50% to add it. Majority to add it or to change the order.
So it sounds like a point of order that it should already be on the agenda. We don't need to vote on it.
It's where it's in new business.
I think it should have been in new business. All the stuff coming in should be in, that's
right.
Anybody who submits something 10 days in advance goes in new business. So that's where it should be. This is a vote to change the agenda, which usually requires 2/3.
I agree that it should require 2/3 to change the agenda. The reason that it didn't automatically go on the agenda was that the chair and I were talking about it, and the chair was originally going to refer this to the governance committee, which I think it should come out of the governance committee myself. But one thing that especially new folks. I think if you guys see that the way this particular meeting gets accomplished and it doesn't just go on to midnight like we did in the first couple of years, is that the committees work things. And this is a governance kind of thing, and it should have come out of the governance committee. And if it comes through committees, then it doesn't waste our time. And
point of order.
I think it's waste our time.
This is a ruling by the chair. Point of order is not debatable, and Richard's debating it.
Okay. Well, actually, I want to rule that it is on the agenda then, under new business that you wanted to be there. So then, at that point, that unless somebody wants to protest my decision, that there, and then that point, in that case, then we're just debating where on the agenda it should be. Okay, we're still on agenda approval, so we'll do that. So the motion now, I guess, is to put the first part just before the committee reports, and then that's the committee the whole part. This is on the sheet that I passed out that's down here. Okay, and then the second part would be under unfinished business, or new business. Okay, so are there any objections to that?
Can you just go over the
agenda? Not the agenda, but the question is where?
Do I get an agenda?
There are objections to it going up before.
Okay.
The
stand. So are there any more objections? I
do object to moving it ahead of committee reports.
Okay. So all in favor of putting it ahead of putting this the committee of the whole discussion that Ted has on this sheet that he passed out before standing committee reports, please raise your hand. All in favor.
All in favor of
putting it before standing committee reports. Otherwise, it's going to be under business. All opposed, raise your hand. Okay, so that's failed.
have it under new business. Okay, so Linda, you have something?
Yes, I do. I have two motions to bring before the board. I have to do them off the top of my head because unfortunately my internet is not available. First of all, and I did actually check my resources this afternoon, I'm basing one of my motions upon the mission statement of the Pacifica Foundation, in which it does say that people who are members of the foundation are not to earn your profit. And as such, I believe that we should not hold this in this building because of the fact that unless we will hold it also at Hewitt and Associates, which is New Woodlands, and unless we will hold it in different 24 different sites, that shows conflict of interest. And there's also the matter of the foundation not allowing to profit.
Okay. I'd like to refer that to government.
No, I will not allow it unless...
Well, we can vote on it. If you can,
and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I do not do it. That's because the people who would vote on the majority of which would be on this board, and that's a very serious conflict of interest as well. Well, actually, either way, see, the same thing. But the other one was a matter of making it so that if an individual appears in public, whether it be on the radio, point of information,
is the first one on the agenda, and do we vote or anything?
We voted on the thing, Ted. So this will be under new business.
No,
yes.
Her first motion.
Okay, let's
go
ahead
and
do the first motion.
Not yet.
Yes, and then I'll do the second.
Okay, wait, can you clarify what the first motion is?
Well, essentially, that we should have it at basically a place that does not belong to or is not rented by anyone who is on this board. Because otherwise, first of all, just by the very act of giving instructions for everyone in the spirit of transparency, that does drive business toward that person. And by the nature of our business right here, we're giving them free advertising. And that means that anybody in the city who does not fit our 501c3 could possibly cause this fiduciary accountability problem.
Okay.
Point of order, is he arguing the motion?
That's what I was going to say. Right. I would like to refer it to governance because I think it deserves more time than the discussion that we'll have here tonight. And we try to, unless there's something really urgent, I think it's more appropriate to have.
And I would rather have it moved to the next meeting.
Something rather than that, governance have a discussion there first, and then they can bring it forward at the next meeting.
I'd rather go to the next meeting because I'm trusted not to kill it.
Okay, well, I'm going to refer it to governance.
Okay.
Unless
and
you want to challenge
if
that,
if
we can
come back
vote.
Here, I will bring it up again.
Okay, that's fine. That's
my option and my horse in the moon.
Okay. And if you're anybody that's interested in discussing it, come to the governance committee meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, I work in the Woodlands and I can't.
Okay.
Second of all, my second motion, in the spirit of a question which I brought up before legal counsel this weekend with Pacifica Foundation in our meeting, which is for the board, I want it to be made a part of our standing rules that if a person appears on the air, a person appears at a public event in the role of an LSV member, and this person hands out pamphlets or talks in a manner which is against any member of our staff, that they would be immediately suspended from the board, subject to expulsion by a meeting, by a simple majority. Because we were told that we have to watch our fiduciary responsibilities. The lawyer said that we have a right to kick that person off the board if they do that. And we've seen instances where, in one of our stations in Pacifica, where they actually have the nerve to...
Okay, you don't need to debate the whole thing here.
Okay.
I'll refer that to governance, too.
In other words, you're going to kill them both.
Well,
thank you.
No, it can come back for discussion here, but I think it needs more time. For example, I think it's contrary to the bylaws.
Well, then tell the lawyer, because he said otherwise, and you heard it, and you were saying you're right there when you said
okay,
it.
Well, I shouldn't be debating it now either.
Did you also hear what the lawyer said?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, everybody's wanting to discuss that. Your comments here. Okay, any other changes to the agenda? Okay, then agenda's approved as amended. We don't have the minutes for the last meeting yet, so we'll have those next month.
Yeah.
Okay. Treasurer's report, the birthday, you're requesting a few samples.
Wait,
can we skip that and just
get
the finance
committee
report?
Yes, we'll see what we have to say in the finance committee report.
don't believe we have any consent items. Election results. Anshaw asked if she needed to be here tonight. I told her not necessarily. She's been having a lot of evening meetings, so I gave her a pass on that. Did anybody have any questions? She already announced that, and I think everybody got the email about it. It was announced on the air this morning. The Pacifica.org website also has the winners. It doesn't have all the vote counts and things like that, if you want to go to that. And he has said that sometime soon we'll have the round-by-round results that you will have by email. Those will be put on the KPSC website also.
I just wanted to make a note that there was a number of people on the staff who didn't get their ballots. And in particular, I'm thinking of one candidate, particularly Brian Hablinka. None of his people got ballots, and also there's some others I understand from Queer Voices didn't get that as well. I think just one individual on Queer Voices got theirs after hours.
Yeah, I talked to her about it. I suggest if you have comments like that, make sure
she gets it
in her report that she's going to be
okay.
And recommendations.
Yes, I think she will be addressing that in the report. She was there at the station. Making ballots available, and people were notified in the time. If that person is now complaining that they didn't get a ballot, it would be their last chance to get them. So it is not a policy. Actually, it should be very important.
Okay.
There's also something else I'd like to say about that, too.
Okay. Well,
No, go ahead, Liz Sanders.
That was just that I was registering the ballot counting and whatnot, and there were a lot of ballots that, well, not a lot, there were, I think, 47 ballots that were completely discounted because the people that had filled them out and put them in the envelope tore off part of the paper, which removed barcodes, which made it an invalid ballot. So I think they're working on addressing that for next year, but that's something that we want to try to prevent.
Yeah, Les didn't have a place to stay, so he stayed at my house. We had a chit-chat a bit. He left me the nicest note, which said that Houston was a complete respite for him. It was wonderful working with all of us, that it was wonderful to be able to kind of recharge his batteries before getting back into what promises to be very, very difficult at WPFW and WBAI. So I think that that was a great compliment. Let me also just mention about the problem that Sandra identified. There may be some changes in the way that the ballot gets designed. The other stations have many, many more candidates. They have many more candidates because they are fighting huge fights. So they have slates that are running against each other. And so their ballots went all the way to the end of the page, and therefore people didn't get confused and tear them off because it was the entire ballot through to where the barcode was. But at any rate, refinements get made.
While we're talking about elections, Rhonda, we already did our other night. You want to introduce yourself? We have another person will be joining the board next month.
Yeah, my name's Rhonda, and I do a music show on Friday afternoon from 1 to 3. Called Radioactive, and we do a special segment on the last Friday most of the time, although we've been having a little trouble lately, called the Sugar Hill Session. And thank you for welcoming me.
Yes,
thank
you.
Welcome.
Very good.
And Ron! Woo!
And congratulations to you, Ron, for being reelected. Did you want to say anything about the election? We're discussing the election. Anything you want to say?
Yes, nothing.
Okay. find that I can dig up. Okay. All right. Well, next on the agenda is KKHB recognitions. Mary, did you have something?
Mary?
Yes.
I do.
And you'll remember it in just a minute. A mind is a terrible thing to lose, Mary.
I would like to take this time to recognize the very special people that are on our board and will be leaving us, and hopefully not forever. I'm sure we'll still see their faces. These women, and they are all women. Let me make that point.
And we roar.
Just with the board through thick and thin. They've been here since day one of putting this board together. They exemplify what it means to be a board member and the dedication that it takes to be a part of KPFT and the LSP. So, if I may read this.
You wonderful people. How lovely.
In appreciation for years of dedication as a member of KPFT Local Station Board, for your hard work and limitless energy, for your passionate devotion to the principles and ethics of your profession, for helping to enrich the KPFT experience, for bringing your spirit and enthusiasm with you, for being a key part of the renewal of KPFT as a community resource. For these reasons and more, we appreciate you and wish you all the best. Thank you for being a part of the solution and for being the exceptional person you are.
Beautiful. Thank you. Regarding the elections, best local election supervisor any place, Ann Shaw, fabulous. Wonderful candidates who suited up, showed up, and took it all very seriously.
That's right. the station dedicated the time and didn't grouse about it, played the cards, has made a big, big commitment to this, and it does us all proud, and that's why we work so well together. The other thing I'd like to recognize is I'd like to recognize the team that has been working so hard on this transition. I'm not sure who all is involved, but I'm sure that it includes Bill, Richard, and Mary, and probably Alberto, and probably everybody who's transitioning, and not transitioning, but you did a beautiful job with the retreat and the training, and you did a beautiful, beautiful job recognizing us. Thank you for making this meeting very special.
Yeah, I want to recognize Robert Mark, who made a presentation about what needs to be put together in order to do a development project and the kinds of barriers that go through it. And he did it with a scene from The Princess Bride, which is a romantic comedy. And it was light and funny and right to the point, and it was perfect. Thank you.
Robert.
Amen.
Me too.
Any other recognitions? Okay. Thank you all. Okay. Pacifica National Board report. Who wants to go first? Sandra, George, Sue.
All of us can jump in, I'm sure. But big time at the National Board. We have a new executive director, Arlene Engelhardt, from Tampa, and she has agreed in principle to start December 1. That agreement is being worked out with our superior counsel, Ricardo De Anda, and she has started being involved already. For example, last night I was on the National Finance Committee call, and she was on it from the beginning to end, so she is learning firsthand how we operate and what the issues are, and that's where a lot of the issues are. We also hired LaVarne Williams as the Chief Financial Officer. She has been working very, very hard as both the Interim General Manager at WBAI and the CFO, and one of the points that a number of us are trying to make is we need her as full-time CFO. A lot of us would have loved to see her stay as the general manager. She had, she preferred to be the CFO, and that has been the decision that she and the board made, and we need her full-time in that job. Budgets. As most of you know, we're having real trouble with budgets. Our KPFT budget was the first approved. There are some real challenges at the national office, and so one of the things I'm going to tell you is we need to bring this budget back to this body for you to ratify on the basis of changes made by the national office, and there are a couple of refinements where the national office hasn't gotten it right yet, but they added in a couple of more costs, and we altered some of our costs and revenue estimates, and so those need to be adopted. Affiliates. We elect two affiliates members to the board. Probably the person who's been the most heavily involved in this is Teresa on that committee, so she may want to talk about it, about who the affiliates are and who have nominated. Oh, well, I'm sorry, let me just mention before we get to that. Every year, the National Board goes through a big change. It is, in my mind, one of the big problems with this governance structure. We have, and so literally, the people who are working there on staff do not know who will be on the board the following year. They could lose everybody they've worked with. And in fact, our head, if you're going to talk on the phone, can you go outside the room? Thanks.
Let's talk to Wendy. She's not coming.
At any rate, I have trouble walking, talking, and chewing gum, so anyway, this is an important deal. This year is particularly challenging because many people term out. Sandra, sixth year. Wendy and me, second term. Several people, fifth year. The person who is currently the
the chair of the board termed out. So there are real questions about how to achieve continuity. Additionally, the people who are eligible to run for the national board are only those who have served a full year. So not everybody who will be around this table is even eligible to run. Give it a lot of thought. And we have been working very hard. We're fortunate that we have people who have been very involved in the committee structure. George has been on the board. Richard has been the secretary. Bill has been, I am not endorsing, I'm just saying that there are people who are familiar and they need to be a part of handling this transition. Please rely on them. We are in very, very difficult times.
Okay, Sandra, George?
I think she pretty much covered it all.
Yeah.
Can I say something about affiliates?
Okay.
There are two affiliate directors on the national board. We have five people who have put their name in the hat, and they are Jim Bennett, Theo Mongaza, David Beaton, David Packman, and John Murphy. And the national board will be making, will be interviewing them and making a decision in December. Also, the affiliates, we have over 140 affiliate stations that listen to some parts of our program. And these are stations of all shapes and sizes in and outside the United States. And you can go to pacificanetwork.org and go to links to their website to, you know, listen to their streams and look at their program schedules. And to me, they are a great inspiration, because what some of those stations do with very little staff and money is just truly inspirational. And we have, the affiliate committee has decided that we will give a report to the board every month. Well, we usually have our meetings on the second Thursday of every month, and so we will come out with a report of less than 2 minutes and present it to the local station board so you can be apprised of what's happening with the affiliates, because they do some very exciting things.
Okay, Ted?
I did want to say something about the BMB.
Okay.
I'll yield.
Okay, yeah, George?
It is the case that the turnover at the board is a problem, particularly this year when Wendy, Sandra, and Susan can't continue. And Teresa, who has been on the board, those are four of the strongest members of this board who have been, you know, sort of the fullbacks for the team for a long time. However, it's also the case that this changeover a year ago at BAI and at KPFK made it possible for majority on the board to be, for the first time, to break the kind of stalemate that had been the norm at the Pacifica National Board. So, in fact, there's a plus to this democratic process, and an important one.
Ted?
The National Governance Committee, which George chairs and Wesley and I are on, is going to be meeting tomorrow night, and there's an issue regarding debate in committees that applies directly to the National Governance Committee, but it would apply to every committee of the National Board and every committee of every local board, and it has to do with how you conduct business in small committees. And this has become a rather contentious issue, and I am wondering how we can get the advice of this body in terms of how we grapple with this problem in terms of limiting or not limiting debate. And where it would fit on the agenda, either tonight or at some subsequent meeting. I think it's that's the problem.
Okay. Well, we already done agenda approval for tonight.
Okay, and I have I would like to, if I'm going to put it on the agenda, it would be for 2 months from now, since I will not be present next month. And I've tried to frame the issue, and I've sent it out to both the National Governance Committee as well as to the current members of the local station board. And I hope that whenever the new board becomes the new board, that they will receive this piece that I've written as well.
Okay, Melinda, and then, yeah. Ron, and then Melinda, and then Teresa.
I just have a question in regards to the new executive director. Will there be a formal email about the announcement of the...
That's a very good question. An email kind of found its way around. One of the things that's challenging is with decisions all made on committee, on conference calls, we don't always get everything, all the T's crossed and I's dotted. We have, she has agreed in principle, she has started essentially working with us, and so I think what George and Sandra and I might do is to suggest to Grace that an email be sent out generally to the community. I don't know that that has happened yet.
Right.
That goes to LSBs and that there be a general announcement.
Yeah, please, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Melinda?
Well, actually, I belong to two national committees, and actually, because of the person sitting right here, I'm one of the officers of the audit committee. But I'm on the archives committee. I've been 2 years. I'm very proud to serve with Brian DeShazer, who I think rocks. And Ernesto Aguilar so kindly made me administrator of KPFC's Facebook page. So I've been putting in plugs for the Archives Committee, including our campus collection, which was on, you may have heard, Monday and Tuesday. We had a fantastic little marathon trying to raise money. I don't know the figures yet, but I have been emailing back and forth with Brian DeShazer, and he appreciated us being on not only the webpage, but I also put the archives on our webpage as well so that people could go link directly from the Facebook webpage directly to the archives collection and from the vault. As far as the audit committee, I must say, just speaking as a very biased individual, I think that I could not be prouder of the team we got right here that's on the audit committee, because both of us, you know, we're doing good because we got one person's hackles raised from New York because of the fact that we were very firm with the auditor. He was on there, and Tony Pohl. And I asked him a direct question. I said, if there's anybody in this bunch that refuses to give information, I want the names, and I want to know exactly what they refuse, and I'd like it to be given to this committee. And he promised to do it. He said he thought it was an excellent question, and he thought it was an excellent thought, because I look at it this way. As people who have fiduciary accountability, I think that the National Board Committee has the right to know, and they need to know, because otherwise we don't know where the lack of cooperation exists. And Sandra also was similar in her focus in that she wanted to make sure accountability was very heavy, you know, was there. And like I said, there had been a little pushback on it, but that's okay because he did not have any issues with it at all.
Okay, Teresa, do you have something?
Yes, I'm ready. The affiliates report.
Okay. Sorry.
The FCC will open another filing window in February for non-commercial radio licenses. The window is for a limited number of frequencies around the country that exist in the commercial part of the dial but are being made available for non-commercial stations. Originally, the FCC was planning to open the window in December, but due to lobbying efforts on the Radio for People Coalition, the Pacifica affiliates program helped to create a coalition of national organizations that support community radio. The FCC has agreed to postpone the window until February. The Pacifica Foundation was cited in the FCC press release as one of the organizations with those requests that was complying. That was complying with the press release is attached. That's Richard. If you know someone who may want to apply for a
Be continued.
Anyway, dang.
Sam,
was really good.
I'm impressed.
The teleprompter.
It's a long one underneath in the middle.
So we may have more affiliates.
I have to go backwards because I pressed. I thought you said to press this one, and that's what I pressed.
Just to let folks know, Pacifica did help a number of low-power radio stations get licenses the last few years, but the frequencies are limited to what's available.
Okay.
You want to come back to you in a minute?
Okay, we've recently learned that due to the fine work of the affiliates program, the group working with the famed SNYCC leader and social justice activist in Albany, Georgia, is still in the running for a community radio license and is likely to be awarded this. The affiliates director arranged for RF engineer Michael Brown to offer his services to resolve a problem that seemed to have eliminated their chances at one time. Almost all new car radios print out digital call letters of stations playing. They have a feature called RBDS that allows the car radio to search out registered stations according to categories that the listener punches in. For instance, if a driver picks religion, the car radio will locate a nearby station registered as such. While there's a classification for public, there is no community classification. There are a few openings left for classification types. The Pacifica... The Pacifica Affiliates Program is heading up a national initiative to ask the regulatory committee to grant one of the remaining slots to a community classification. The committee, which meets less than every 10 years, will be meeting in Las Vegas in January. They have agreed to seriously consider a request in the form of a letter. We have organized so far undermining from 50 stations and from 50 organizations, as well as a number of individuals. If you wish to add your name, contact ursula@pacifica.org. Our newest affiliate will be signing on in a few days, the first in Montana, the Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KSLN, a new station in Bozeman, Montana. We helped them with applying for their license in 2007. Isn't that all good news?
So if you need to know of anybody anywhere in the country that would like to get a community radio station started, Teresa can connect you with the right people. Thank you. Let me see if anybody else hadn't already spoken yet on B&B stuff.
I have just a question for Teresa. Yep. Will you email that so that we can have that that connection so we can sign on to that?
Yes, it's just been sent to the secretary. Can you send that to LSD and take it to
that? I will definitely do that.
Okay, cool.
Send it to everybody.
Let me just mention to Jabra, we're calling B&B stuff. One of the peculiarities of our bylaws is that, you know, we elect. According to the bylaws, early January, our P&B directors, the representatives on the Pacific National Board for that year. So it means we'll be meeting probably the first week in January to elect those people. But we have three people that are going to be going off the board. Well, soon, not quite now, but Susan and Wendy, Teresa later, and so they'll continue
Sandra
until.
Later.
They were.
Sandra's later.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Anyway, and then but we don't have a vacuum there, so they'll continue to be our P&P representatives until the new ones we elect take office in later in January. So they'll be off the local station board, but they'll still be on the Pacific and National Board for a few weeks, so that we won't be unrepresented. Okay. Anything other questions or anything about the P&P report? You're amused. If you want some amusement or. Can't go to sleep at night, read the bylaws. And, do recommend that you read them, though. There's a lot of important stuff. Okay, General Manager's Report, Dwayne.
Everybody has a copy. I emailed them out this afternoon, printed them out, and I always think of a few things afterwards. It'll also be on our website. If it's not already on the website, it'll be there. There's over 85 of them that anybody new to the board wants to catch up. some really dynamic writing there. I'm still in recovery from this fund drive, which is the topic. Typically, these reports for, I beg the indulgence of the outgoing quartet and those others of you veterans, but for the new folks in particular, these monthly reports that I will be bringing in and have for everyone typically start off with an overview of the business, the numbers, the membership, the most recent fund drive, that type of stuff. And as you see, we have $179,000 in the bank as of today. We have over 9,000 members as of today. We have raised 91% of our fund drive, and we'll figure out contingency plans on what to do with that, you know, roughly $30,000 that we're short. We have a staff meeting scheduled for Friday morning. And our staff typically meets within the week after the fund drive to download impressions and get feedback while the brains are still warm. And I mean, my take on it is that 91, any place I think I've ever gone to school, you get an A. It might be an A minus, but it's still an A. And I think that the staff did a really yeoman's job. I was particularly impressed with the way this partnership with the Pink Ribbons Project worked out, and the fact that we were able to give 90 medical services to indigent people. When we first met with the folks from the Pink Ribbons and the folks at the Rose, you know, we were trying to come up with a number that we thought we might be able to generate, you know, 3 or 4 dozen, maybe 50. But when we realized how quickly people were getting behind this, even in the first few days of the drive, we went back to them and said, what's the top number? I mean, how high can we go with you guys with this thing? Because this is really resonating with people. It was really great in most of the programs. Some programs, more than half of what they raised. Some, many of them, at least half of what they raised was for the pink pool. And so they said, well, we really can't give more than 100, but we'll commit to going up to 100. So we set 90 as a nice goal. And we actually got the 90th one on the last hour, so that was pretty phenomenal. So that's the first paragraph in these reports is typically about these issues. The second one is usually about community events because that impacts income oftentimes too. As you see here, we raised $2,100 at the Green Fest at the Emile Street Farm, and also. Joe and Marcella, the folks who built this amazing urban farm, were just blown away by how many people KPFT was able to turn out into their, you know, acres out there over in the South Fifth Ward. They estimated that about 2,000 people passed through there during that afternoon, and it's the biggest one-day turnout for anything they've ever done over there, and they were just so jazzed to have KPFT do that with them. So, you know, and we got a couple thousand dollars out of the deal. Anytime, you know, my rule of thumb, and you'll hear me say this maybe not as often as the phone number of the station, but often, is that anytime we can raise $15,000 on an event or a piece of that, we can eliminate one day of on-air fund drive. So there's a couple thousand from that. There's over 5,000 from the golf tournament last week, and you know, a little bit more from this after hours, nothing on but the radio thing, which I unfortunately ran out of gas on Saturday night and wasn't able to make it out to the pocket corner over there to to check that out. But anyway, there is an art auction opening tomorrow night, and if someone bids a minimum of $1,000 on this painting that is being auctioned, that will all be a benefit to KPFT, as long as someone meets this artist's minimum bid of $1,000. So if you know somebody, there's pictures of it, links to it on our website. I didn't put a picture of it in here, but it's available to look at, and if you go or send somebody with $1,000, that'll end up coming back to KPFT, so that's a great thing. Third paragraph is usually about programming. The good news in here is related to some follow-through on a program council recommendation about filling a vacant slot that's been on the air on Saturday nights for months now. And so Dr. Simotis is in training and is really looking forward to getting on the air and shining in the midnight hour. Other good news in the program-related area down at the bottom is about our translator stations. Steve has been working, and we've been negotiating deals with Tower Company, and it's looking really good that 89.7 is going to come on air before the end of this year, which is a really great step down the road. Possibly Livingston, which I think is 90.3. We can do that next year. Some of the things that aren't in the report are about the Pacifica Archives Days that we just completed. Brian and the group had a goal of $280,000, which is the lion's share of the finances for the whole archives for the year. They only raised $176,000, which is an awful lot of money for a couple of days, but it's still $104,000 less than they wanted to raise. So we're keeping their banner ad up on our website. We're going to leave it there for a while and see if we can get some trickle through into the archives. That was and always is some of the more dynamic programming days that we have in the course of an average year. A couple of other things that aren't in this report. The code of conduct is something that if you're new to KPFT, you may not be familiar with, but those of us who have been around the block a few times, recall that in the olden days, there was a lot of contention and there was a need to create some models for civility in Pacifica. And so KPFT, as we have in so many ways for the little station that could in Houston for the network, came up with a code of conduct, probably 6 or 7 maybe years ago. And it's been an issue that we've struggled with because regulating behavior is not something many of us are good at. The code of conduct is posted on our website. It's posted at the station. It's probably in your packet. I didn't look through your board packets, but I expect that it's in there. And it was something we needed a lot years ago, and we haven't really needed it much in the last few years. But it's something that we are. It's something that we haven't needed much, but we have had need of it. And I just wanted to inform the board that, you know, Jeff Abrams, who has been working with us through our relationship with TALA, the Texas Accountants and Lawyers for the Arts, you know, they do pro bono work, and they're doing pro bono work. They helped us with the code of conduct process over the years. And actually, I just had a conversation with him before the meeting tonight because we've had this kind of dormant case that's been sitting for about a year and a half. And it was, and I'm not going to go into the details, but it was kind of something that I considered to be moot because one of the parties involved had moved away. But they've subsequently moved back and want to re-engage with KPFT, and there's this unresolved issue of a conflict. So Jeff informed me tonight that he has convened his... The process calls for convening a panel of experts, lawyers, who will then mediate this process, and they're going to perhaps call on either me or Ernesto or both of us, and the two parties who are both programmers at the station or were, and see if they can resolve the issue one way. Well, they will resolve the issue one way or another. So the code of conduct is something that we haven't really talked about in a long time, but it's something that's there, and it is part of our construct, and it's something that I just wanted to let you all know is in process again in this particular case.
Just to remind everybody, the New Orleans especially, the code of conduct and a dispute resolution procedure which goes along with it is in those notebooks that you just got.
Right.